Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today back is Tobias and Slava. Gentlemen, how are you?
Very good, very good.
This is also known as Fun with Tobias and Slava, because we always have a bunch of fun on the show.
Yes.
So gentlemen, I'm excited about this because we've been talking before. We've seen a lot about performance and how you guys got to where you are from SQL on Linux.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about this one because it's kind of how we do both Windows and Linux on SQL same time, right?
Yes.
Kind of a failover disaster recovery scenario, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's what we're going to take a look at.
Yep.
Now, this is in particular a fun session because like we dreamed about it like when we initially started the project. It's like, hey, wouldn't it be that cool to have availability working between Windows and Linux at the same time?
Well, and so,
at that time, we thought like it's pretty much impossible to pull it off. But here we are now. And
yes. Yeah. Right. That turns out it's not impossible.
It turns out. But what is this kind of open for? What opportunities or what possibilities is this open for, people running SQL on Linux, right? Or that are currently running Linux?
Yeah. Before we go into the customer scenarios, I think from engineering standpoint,
we need to look at the processor because it's in here.
That's right.
He's going to explain his stuff.
Let me get a hammer.
It was cool part from the engineering standpoint of view, and then he had to figure out how to make it applicable to our customer.
Yeah, okay. Slava had a hammer. We just need to find a name.
So okay, now you can continue.
Yeah, I think. First of all, I think it's interesting with platform products like SQL. It's often hard to imagine what customers would actually do with it,
right? Mm-hmm.
Right, because they dream up stuff, and that was actually what happened here. So, some obvious use cases you could think of is migration.
Yep. Right?
You're going from Windows to Linux or Linux to Windows.
Yep.
And to be clear, the kind of the feature we're talking about is what we in SQL land call availability groups, which is the ability to use replication between machines to migrate data and to have a DR site in some other location, high availability copy in the same data center for a very quick failover, read scale out. We can actually scale to hundreds of nodes since we can daisy chain together. So you can go from one node to eight, and then each of those could go to eight again. So that's pretty cool. And it's particularly interesting because we did a lot of work in the previous release on performance.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually got it to, if you use replication, performance degradation is about 5% for a very write heavy scenario.
Okay.
Which is pretty much amazing.
Okay.
And we can push a ton of data through this replication pipe.
Right.
But migration is kind of the scenario that comes to mind. But we ran into other things like, actually a few customers now have mentioned that, for protection from failures, viruses, things like this, you could actually have a backup copy on another operating system, because the thought is, if this OS is compromised, you could fail over to another operating system.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's an interesting one.
Diversification.
Yes.
Diversification.
Yes.
And so what was it that all the work that you guys did, all the previous shows we've done, like here's how we got it running on Linux and here's how we got performance. Mm-hmm. How did that help this scenario? Did it make it this much easier? I mean, what was the thought process going? We did all this work. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Hey, was that? We could do this, pretty easy. I mean, was there?
It was kind of orthogonal or complementary, the process, right? So we identified the scenario, then the TBS came up, and the company came up with the plan, why it's going to be interesting for end user.
Yeah.
And then we went back and figured out the engineering plan, how we can actually make it work. And the way we made it work, we actually created Notion of external cluster. And so now we can integrate with, in the previous versions, we integrated with Windows clustering.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can integrate with different clustering technology.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And so that was a key piece to recognize and extract and make it so that folks can integrate. We, in particular, in this point in time, we integrate with the pacemaker, but going down the road, we're going to be integrating with other clustering technologies as well.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
We also have this technology or abstraction that we call distributed availability groups, where the thought is that you can have one availability group that is for HA, and you can have another, and this is what we use for this daisy chaining scenario.
Yep.
And then you can have another kind of orthogonal group that it replicates to. And that's what we use for the kind of management of this Windows Linux scenario. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was that a process of Linux, or was that something that you guys would have done anyway,
So I think that Linux expedited. I think that people already had some thinking along the same lines, but it's never been like kind of priority. The other things were taking priority, but Linux kind of expedited, like us
kind
running on the other platform.
That forward quite,
yes,
yeah.
And it made it a high priority scenario for us to actually make it happen rather
okay,
sooner
cool.
than later.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. All right. I think enough talking.
Okay.
Yes.
So now it's
pressure,
your turn.
Pressure time.
Yes.
He's the only
to talk about technology.
Yes, yes.
He's
yes.
only
Let's
with a computer now, so we can yes. just steer it here. Now.
So this is a PC, and we're going to screw it open here, and we're going to go and look at this very...
How about JTAG? Are you going to attach a debugger?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, I have a Windows machine. Mm-hmm. That I'm connected to here, and I also have a Linux machine running, and both of them I've installed the latest CTP of SQL Server 2017.
Okay.
So let me first connect just to the Linux machine as well. There we go. So here we have SQL Server 2017 installed. And again, same thing on the Windows machine. So the way we're going to set this up is I have SQL Server Management Studio running here on this computer, and this tab here, primary, I've connected to the primary machine, which is running Linux. And then I have the one I call secondary, which is the one running Windows.
Okay.
So let's kick this off on the primary. So I'll just start with running selectat.version, so you can see here we're running on Linux Ubuntu 16.04.2. And I already created a master key. This is used to protect certificates on the machine. So that one is already run. So,
yeah, this is standard high availability.
Yeah. Okay. Well, standard kind of encryption scenarios.
Yep.
And now I need a certificate. So we have kind of two ways to do authentication, or a bunch of ways. But the general, when you do HA, you can either do Windows authentication or AD authentication, mm-hmm. or you can use certificates. And certificate is obviously very practical if you're going to connect between Windows and Linux.
Okay.
So I'll create a certificate here, and then I'm going to back up the certificate out to a file, or to two files rather. And then we need to get these certificates now to the Windows machine so that we can authenticate over there. And you can see here on the Windows machine, we're going to go and say create certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So first of all, I need to copy these files over. So let's see where they are. They're in var opt MSSQL data. So you can see here I have DBM, certificate sir, and certificate PVK.
Okay.
So we'll start by copying these files over to my my home directory here. And DBM. Oh, obviously it's not in this directory.
That's
good
when
you're... Yeah. Thank you for not asking and helping
me out. You're welcome.
Okay, so then we have the certificates here, and let's just change ownership of these to me. So, because I'm root now. There we go. So now I'll connect from the Windows machine and copy these files over. So I have here the Windows server. And we'll use PSCP to copy it over, so connect it to BIST at whatever this machine is called. Let's see.
That was demo?
No, this is one is called this.
Oh, that's, yeah, that, never mind.
And then, you know, home to BIST DBM star, we're going to copy both of those files.
Oh, so you're copying them from the Linux machine to the
Windows
machine.
Exactly. I connect to the Linux machine and copy them over to the Windows machine because I need to then import them into SQL over there.
Yep, okay.
Wouldn't this be nice if it was easier?
Working on it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I log in there. We copy the files over. We can see they're here, and that's why I have Explorer open here. So I'll just simply copy the files, and then we'll just dump them in the SQL Server folder on this machine. And let's see what path I'm using. Data.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So then we have the certificates there.
Okay.
So next step, let's jump over to the secondary and make sure that we can create the certificate. So I have to create the login and user first because I'm going to connect those to the certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And then we create certificate, and here we can see the paths to those files, right? Good, cool. So now we got the certificate from Linux over to Windows.
Okay.
So then let's go back to the Linux machine and create now the login and user over here that's going to be used for kind of permission management locally. Okay. And then we create the endpoint. So this is the endpoint where each of the machines will use to communicate with each other. So we're going to listen on all IPs on the machine on port 5022. And then we'll start this endpoint, so we start listening. And we'll grant the login that's connected to the certificate
to that
the right to connect to this endpoint. Okay. Right. Now, next, I'll create this availability group. So in this case, what we talked about, we have this distributed availability group concept. So I'll have one local, which is this one, and it won't have any other nodes currently. It's just one. And then we'll have one local on the other side and a distributed to connect them.
So the Windows is going to be the distributed.
No, there is both will have the concept of the distributed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we create this one, and you can see cluster type none in this case, which means, and this is mostly for metadata, where we don't have anything managing this one. You could also use cluster type external that Slava talked about.
Yep. Okay, oh, I see. Yeah.
And we say here we're going to have synchronous commit. It's manual failover. It has to be manual because it's cluster type none. And this is interesting. This was introduced in SQL Server 2016 that we have automatic seeding. Mm-hmm. So before I used to have to back up, copy files, and restore.
Yeah, restore. Yeah.
I don't need to do that anymore.
Now automatically start seeding.
So we create the availability group. And then we add this distributed availability group. And this is where I say, hey, this availability group I just created, that's one part of this. And then this is the one I'm going to create on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of the glue that glues these two together.
Mm-hmm. It creates that relationship between the Windows and the Linux.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we'll say, alter this availability group to create databases. So if someone connects and wants to create a database, then it will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then let's jump over now to the secondary and see that we can hook everything up here. So we created the certificate. Now let's create the endpoint on this side. Done. Let's start the endpoint. So you see it's kind of analogous on this side. And then we create the secondary availability group. Same thing. And then we create this distributed thing so both sides know about the other side, right?
Okay. Yeah, and that's the same statement you created on the right, saying here's the primary, here's the secondary.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we tell this availability group that it's allowed to create databases.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're done. We've hooked everything up. So now let's try and actually create a database and see if it flows over.
Sure.
Yeah, reasonably.
It's your drum roll.
Exactly. So let's go over here and let's. I could have just done create database.
Yep.
But now I'm going to instead start a little workload so we can see actually kind of transactions happening and flowing over. And this workload will create the database for us.
Oh, okay.
So let's jump over.
And it will create a database in that.
I have to add it to the availability group after.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So let's start the workload generator. So now it's. You can see this is the, there's one thread currently running that's going to try to do stuff.
And what, what is the thread again?
And there is, and it's doing setup right now. So it's creating database, creating the tables, and so on. And now it's done. So now it started working here.
Okay.
There we go. So we say there is a couple of transactions per minute happening here. Let's slow it down a little bit here. Just while we're poking around. Okay, so now let's go over here. So now the database has been created. So we say it's recovery full. We back up the database, and then we add it to the availability group. Okay, so now it should start popping over to the other side. So first I can check here, you know, use into the database, see if we have tables. We have these four tables. That's part of this workload. This is a popular benchmarking utility. A workload for PG Bench. And it's based on TPCB transactions.
Okay.
So we can see there is a couple of rows have been created there. You see it's going on. So then let's copy that and go to the other side and use PG Bench. And you can see we get into it. We have the same tables over here. And you know rows are trickling in.
Wow.
So what just did happen now?
Can we start over? No, okay.
Yeah, so now the database got created. And this was the automatic seeding that you saw. I didn't have to go and do anything on the secondary other than just go and allow it to create databases. So now when we add databases to the primary, they automatically start being trickling over to the secondary.
Okay.
So now let's see if we can increase the a little bit. That's the nervous laughter over there. So let's just see if we add a few connections here. So now we have 40 worker threads running, and now we're inserting a few more rows per second. This is a very kind of simple workload. So we can see we're at 700.
Stress testing my stuff.
So now we can see it's trickling more rows over, and we can pump north of a gigabyte per second over always on availability group. So you can have a very serious workload running for sure. Yeah. And then we go on the other side and we see, it's very close.
Yep.
Right. And you can see it's fully readable. So you can see how this would be interesting. Now I could have a couple of these and it could replicate, as we said, daisy chain to other machines.
Yeah, so you can from here have a secondary to another.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
And you can report, you can run actually reports from the secondary machines, right?
Exactly. Reports. So. You can take backups from the secondaries. You can run check utilities and so on. So this is very powerful.
And you can have Linux, Windows, Windows, Linux, Windows.
Windows, Linux, Linux. We didn't test Linux, Linux, Windows, Linux, Windows. But other than that,
but he did test Linux, Windows, Windows, Windows.
Yeah, yeah.
We tested the other one. Yeah.
Yes, yes. No, so this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And do they need to be all the same hardware?
No, no. They don't need to be the same hardware. What you should, think about is if the secondary is slower, right, and there's a high, high intensity workload on the primary, the secondary may not be able to keep up.
Yes.
Right. So you may see older data and so on.
Okay.
So the recommendation is that you should be you need to have hardware that can handle whatever your top peak write workload.
Whatever you're sending to the primary should be able to handle the second.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
So that was pretty awesome because it only took you a few minutes just to set up and get going.
I have one more question. Can you have the?
I'll answer it.
Can you have a secondary like being part of the EG from multiple?
Wait. So can you have multiple primaries sending to the same machine or same instance? Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. So you can multiple primaries to a single secondary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Not the same database, just to be clear. Yeah. So you can have
one
machine could be taking workloads from many different machines. And this is very interesting because it's a very good point.
Yes.
He has his his moments.
That's right.
because
presence of greatness.
Yes. Often we think very much about these, like the super intense workloads that, and you work on those. But it's very interesting for lots of these databases that don't have super high utilization, you can do very smart things to, consolidate from different, you may have remote offices, for example, consolidate in to a central server, create a view, unioning all of this and doing easy reporting. Yeah. This is a very, very powerful tool. And so we've done it, as you can see, a lot easier with the automatic seeding because literally, if I go here now and we go and say, okay, let's create, another database, Tobias.
You sure it will work? Maybe we shouldn't try.
So we create that, we do the same things. And then we add the Tobias database also to the availability group. And I'm not in master, so I need to be in master.
Adding.
No, that's fine.
No, you're.
Oh, I'm. Group, yeah, I'm doing multiple things wrong here.
Your group, it's group my AG.
Yeah. But I was anyway not in the right.
In my master, yeah. You cannot be. Yeah.
There you go.
Many things wrong at once. Not many people can do this, but I can.
Again, presence of greatness.
Yes. So we added it. We can do the same thing here. Use into Tobias. No, just Tobias.
Oh, okay.
No tables. No create table. Slava. So Slava is a table, Tobias is a database. It's important to know.
Scott's just a column, don't worry.
Clearly, that's a good idea. Table Slava, and then we have Scott is the column. Is he an integer? maybe Scott is a tiny.
this is
database humor. That's great.
Okay.
And then we have the Slava.
It just gets better.
Yeah, and we also obviously, so we need to see Scott also. So it's columns. And oh my god. Uh-huh. Where object ID equals object ID of Slava. This is clear.
That's right.
Let's do the same thing on
that
side.
Yeah, exactly. So now on the other side, let's use into Tobias. And we have Slava. And we have Scott. And we are united. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm honored to be a tiny.
Yes. But you are very good at tiny.
Yeah, I am.
It's a solid one.
I'm a solid tiny. Awesome. Gentlemen, that was fantastic. So what can we, from here, I don't know if we get how much roadmap you can talk about, but what can we see down the road from here?
So for example, so this is a really good question, right? You did all these dances with certificates, but what if you had integrated authentication working? Do you need to do that? Those dances with certificates?
You mean from the Linux side?
No, yeah, what means Windows?
No,
yeah.
True. So if with AD authentication, this could be simpler. We could also have it be simpler if I could just create a certificate and send it via T-SQL over to another machine, right?
Okay.
Or fetch it. So overall, it may seem like a lot of commands, but you can obviously, this is a simple script. You can put it into a stored procedure or something, very easily reused. But that's one of the things we're looking at, is making this trivial.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was also trying to hint that integrated auth is coming.
Wink, wink. The subtle Kazakhstani.
He's coming. He forgot to wink.
Yes. Okay. So I know many customers are waiting for the integrated authentication, and it's about to become part of the.
So we should have you back for another show.
We could have done it could have shown it today instead of using.
This is not really good. In fact, it sucks.
Next time.
You will come back and do it again.
Yes. I personally actually like certificates a lot because it makes it so that you don't have to hook things up into the single AD if you don't want to. But both are very valid scenarios. AD auth is a. It's a big thing that lots of customers are waiting for.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that's good. Anything else, or is that kind of the primary, more the certificate stuff?
Yeah, from that standpoint of view, from HA, yes, it's finishing up the scenario.
Okay.
And adding whatever the features we need to. And then at this point, we're looking forward to closing the release.
I was just going to ask you that because we've talked about your whole focus on performance and things like that, and we're getting closer. I mean, what's your focus?
So we're pretty much finalizing the release at this point.
Okay.
So soon, our...
We won't give dates, wink, but...
No, there's unwinking.
Unwinking here.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're just kind of wrapping things up.
Wrapping things up, looking over the stress, making sure the quality is where we want it to be, and we are closing on
performance. Okay, good.
Yeah,
performance. Yeah, the performance video we did, I think it's been out, and that's people are one of the top rated videos, just to see kind of that, what they can expect, right?
No, and we'll continue digging into this. There's obviously a lot more to do.
Yeah.
And Yeah, but we're, I think we're pretty proud over this.
Yeah.
First release of SQL Server.
I think what someone said, they're saying there's SQL on Linux VMs or something like that, or like just they're just astronomically being spun up, just right?
No. Yes. So I think that you're referring to our Docker pools numbers.
Oh yeah.
They're really, really good and very, very promising. We are like the.
All right. Well, we're excited. We're excited.
Yes, so, and we'll be back with more fun stuff.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah, we're just scratching the surface with the
we
fun
are.
Stuff.
We are.
Yeah. So anyway, hey, gentlemen, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's always fun. Everybody, thanks for watching. I hope you got a lot out of this. Download it, get started playing with it, and make these guys happy. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.